Well, it's great to be here again. As we sang tonight, my family and I sang that verse from Isaiah, "Here am I, send me," where Isaiah said, and the Bible says in that verse, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Let's take our Bibles tonight with the time we have left and go to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm going to begin at verse number 8 and go down to verse number 1 and go down to verse number 8 here. And let's stand for the reading of the Word of God this evening. Again, Isaiah chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And here's our verse. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word.
Yes.
We're so thankful to have it, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you would fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit tonight to preach your word to these dear folks tonight. And Lord, pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, Lord, that you would bless your word tonight, Lord, that it would stir the hearts of your people, Lord.
Yes.
Whatever you may be doing in their hearts, Father, just work and move in a very powerful way tonight, Lord. And may it all be for your honor and glory.
Yes.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus shares with his disciples a prayer request. He wants them, and by extension, he wants us to pray for something. He tells them, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." God wants to send many believers out into the harvest, but many believers don't want to be sent out into the harvest. Most would rather be comfortable where they want to be, with where they are, rather than be uncomfortable where God wants them to be. They'd rather be comfortable where they want to be than be uncomfortable where God wants them to be. But if the work of missions is to be accomplished, all of us are going to have to get uncomfortable.
Yes.
All of us need to say to God, as Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." So my question tonight is, from this passage, is will you say, "Send me"? Will you say, as Isaiah did, "Here am I, send me"? Being sent by God doesn't mean necessarily you'll be on the other side of the world. See, that's the problem is we think that if we tell God, "Here am I, send me," that he's going to send us to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, or God forbid, he'll send us to Los Angeles or San Francisco or somewhere like that. Maybe you'd rather be in Africa than San Francisco. I don't know. But many are afraid of where God might send them. You know, being sent by God may just mean that he wants to send you somewhere here in town, send you next door to your neighbor, send you somewhere else in Georgia. I don't know where that might be. But how did Isaiah get to a place where he could tell God, "Here am I, send me"? Well, first is that he saw the Lord for who he is. Again, verse 1 tells us also, he says, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." He got a crystal clear view of the Lord in this revelation that God gave him.
Yeah.
You know, our view of God has been dimmed by all the distractions that we have, especially here in America.
Yeah.
Boy, there's so many things to distract us from viewing God properly. You know, money, our possessions, the American dream, right? Pursuing the American dream, you know, trying to get what we can, sports, entertainment, all of it distracts us from having a crystal clear biblical view of the Lord. But if we're going to make missions work and we're all going to say, here am I, send me, here am I, Lord, we're going to have to get a proper biblical view of God. And that's what Isaiah got. And what he saw was a God who is holy, holy, holy. Our God is holy. Let's not mistake that. You know, God is not reverenced like he once was in America. The view of God has been altered. It's man's corruption has taken over. But we need to remember that our God is holy. He's not okay with sin. He's not okay with the sin that comes out of California. But he's not okay with my sin either. And he's not okay with your sin. He's not okay with our sin. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. A lot of Christians are missing personal holiness. And that's costing us dearly when it comes to America, and it comes to planting churches in America and seeing America turn back to God. We cannot minimize the holiness of our God. But when we do, what happens is when we minimize the holiness of God, we minimize the need for holiness in our own life. We think, well, God's okay with it. It's okay, you know. We try to justify our own ungodliness. But look what Isaiah said about himself in verse number 5. He said, then it said, I, woe is me, for I am undone. And then, you know, later on in Isaiah, chapter number 64, he says, well, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah says. You know, we all want revival, right? We're praying for revival. We want to see revival happen in America. You want to see revival happen in your church, in this area, this part of the country. You want to see revival take place. But what's the key? If you look throughout Scripture, what's the key to revival? When does God say, okay, I'll revive you? When we repent. Repentance is the key to revival. And that's what happens in verses 5 through 7. When Isaiah gets a clear view of God, next is he gets a clear view of himself. He sees himself for who he is. He says again in verse number 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. God, Isaiah was undone by the vision that he received of the Lord. It undid him. He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Back in chapter 5, six times there, Isaiah says, woe unto them. Woe unto them. But then it turns right back around on him. When he sees God, all he can say is, woe is me. Woe is me. When Isaiah saw God in all his glory, it changed him. Profoundly, it changed him. When you see God for who he is, it will change you too. It will change you as well. You know, oftentimes we just think too much of ourselves, don't we? We justify ourselves. We make excuses for ourselves. But we need to remember what the Bible says about us. Remember, in Isaiah, again, as I said earlier, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That's who we were before God saved us. If you're saved tonight, that's who you were. When you look out at the lost and you see all the ungodliness and the wickedness, remember where they are now is where you and I once were.
That's right.
We cannot forget that.
That's right.
We cannot think too much of ourselves. I love what Spurgeon said about it. He said, if any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are far worse than he thinks you to be. That's a very good perspective to have. But you know, as bad, as sinful as we are, and as frail, and as weak as we are, I'm so thankful for the promise of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me ask you, brother and sister in Christ, when was the last time that you got cleansed? I mean, really cleansed by the Lord. That you went before the Lord and you confessed. Now, what does that mean to confess? It's very fascinating. It means to agree with God about your sin. That you say the same thing that God does about your own sin. And that's what God is looking for from all of us. But not only do we need a biblical view of God, and not only do we need a biblical view of ourselves, finally, we need a biblical view of the calling that God is placing upon us. Verse number 8 again. After all this, Isaiah sees God for who he is. He sees himself for who he is. He then sees the calling for what it is. So when God asks the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You know, God is asking that same question today in all the churches across America and around the world. He's churches like yours. He's reaching down. He's asking the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? He's asking you that tonight. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Who's it going to be from your church who will say, here am I, send me? And again, I don't know where that's going to be. And because we're so afraid of where it might be, we're unwilling to tell God, here am I, send me. God was placing a call on Isaiah's life, and he was waiting to see if Isaiah would answer. And God is calling you as well. Every Christian, if you're a Christian, you've been called to something. Yes. Don't think that, oh, just the missionaries are called, or the pastor or evangelist. They're the ones who are called. No, every single believer has a calling in their life. Amen. Something that God has specifically for you. It may be California. It might not be. Again, God has called us to Riverside, California. But that probably isn't your calling. But there's a calling in your life. And maybe to stay right here and help your pastor grow this church and serve in this church. But it could be to go. If it's to stay, you need to stay. If it's to go, then you need to go. Just be obedient. Amen. You know, so much of the Christian life is focusing on others, as the Bible tells us. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But when it comes to missions, it really is all about you. It's all about me. It's Christians who will stand up and say, make themselves available to the Lord and say, here am I, send me. Jesus said it, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if we just stand around and wait for someone else to do it, it's not going to get done. If we're looking for others to do it, others to respond. When we pray for laborers, if we pray for laborers and then exclude ourselves from that prayer, Lord, send people, but please, God, don't send me. What are we then if that's our attitude, that we're so unwilling to go where God sends us? Is it scary? Yeah. Are there trials? Absolutely. Are there setbacks? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Guarantee it. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be trials. But guess what? Every single person in the world has those things. Lost, saved, those that are in God's will, those that are out of God's will. Every single person has setbacks and trials and tribulations and downfalls and valley moments. And you're going to have those, whether you're in the will of God or out of the will of God. But I'll tell you this, it's better to go through those things in the will of God than outside of the will of God. Amen. Because whether you're obedient or not, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trials. Wouldn't it be better to do this, go through those trials being obedient to the Lord than to go through them just disobeying God? In our time, the time that we live in today is very similar to the time of Isaiah and many of the other prophets who preached in Israel. They were preaching to a nation that had rejected God, that had rejected the God of their fathers. Right. And that's exactly where we are in America today. Yes. We were given a great spiritual heritage, and we have forfeited it in America today. Many have rejected what they were taught growing up. Many have rejected the God of the Bible. We live in a nation that has rejected God. You know, we're a nation that has no official established religion, but I can tell you if there is one, it's paganism. Yeah. In our public schools, in our public universities, amongst our politicians, it is humanism and it is paganism. Ezekiel was a man who was called to preach to a wicked and corrupt nation. And God was looking at the people of Israel, and he says in Ezekiel chapter 22, this is what God says. He said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And these next four words are some of the saddest words in all of Scripture. But I found none. God could not find a man to stand in the gap. God is looking today for men and women and Christians and churches who will stand in the gap, who will go to the lost and preach the gospel. Amen. With boldness, with a sense of urgency. But I just wonder how many times in America God has called out to someone and they have refused to answer. how many Christians there are today in our churches, in pews just like yours. And God says, I want you to do this thing. Or he asks the question, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who's going to go to California? Who's going to go to New York? Who's going to go to China? Who's going to go to India? Who's going to go to Japan, South America? Who's going to go to these places? And how many times in our churches, God asks that question and it's crickets. No one responds to the calling. May I challenge you to have a biblical view of this calling, the way Isaiah did. First, again, view God for who he is. See God for who he is. Secondly, see yourself for who you are. And finally, see the calling for what it is. A very common definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And a lot of that time, that's what we've done as Christians in America. We've just done the same things over and over again, and it's become routine, and we think somehow it's going to change. Somehow things are going to change if we just keep doing the same thing. We need to stop passing that responsibility on to someone else. Some other church will take care of that. Some other Christian will do that. What about you, believer? Will you stand up and respond? Because there are millions and millions of people in America, and then billions of people around the world. We now have 8 billion people on this planet. The vast majority of those people, if they died today, would go straight to hell. What are we going to do about it? No, we can't know. I mean, no one person can reach all 8 billion, obviously. But one person can reach another person, right? And God never called you to reach all 8 billion people by yourself. You just need to be obedient and go preach the gospel to that person that's right there in front of you. And again, if every Christian says someone else will do it, then it will never get done. I wonder, are there any Isaiahs here this evening in your church? Someone who God is saying, hey, will you go? Will you go to that heathen land of California? Will you go to Atlanta? Atlanta's a rough city, right? I mean, you know it better than I do. It's a rough place. Who's going to go there? You know, our cities, our big cities, our major cities, there's so little gospel presence there. Whether it's Atlanta, New York, Baltimore, Houston, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Los Angeles is a city of 4 million people. And do you know how many independent Baptist churches there are in that city? Less than 10. 4 million people. And there are less than 10 independent Baptist churches trying to reach all 4 million of those people. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, so much for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the calling that every Christian has to preach the gospel to every creature, Lord. I pray for this dear church tonight that you'd bless them, Lord, with a great burden to reach lost people, wherever it is that you have them to go. And Father, we pray that through the gospel ministry, that you would be glorified and honored as you are worthy to receive all honor and glory and praise. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.